Nedarim, Perik Yud, Mishnah Base 10:2. In the previous Mishnah, we learned how if a girl is a Na'ara Hamurasa, a girl who's under 12 and a half, who is legally married as an Arusa, but not yet functionally married, having been Nesu and moving in with her husband, and she has a Neder, so we need both the father and the Baal, the husband, to work in concert in order to be made for her Nedarim, to cancel her vows. Now the Mishnah wants to consider what happens if, during that time, one of these two fall out of the picture, the father or the husband. So the Mishnah says here, Mesa Av, if the father dies, meaning Nara Mahamuras had a father at the time, but then he died, and we, until that point, needed both him, the father, and the husband to sign off together on a cancellation, on a Hafara. Says the Mishnah, Lo Nisrokna Rishus Labaal. His rights don't empty out, pour out, so to speak, into the hands of the husband. That is to say, that before he died, the father had the rights to cancel, and now her vows, and now that he dies, those rights don't pass over to the Baal. In other words, if the father dies, there's simply no way for her Nadarim to be cancelled. On the flip side, Meis HaBaal, if the husband dies and she still hasn't become a Nesua, she hasn't moved in with him, and she is still a Nara, she's a minor, or 12 and, up to 12 and a half, so then Nisrokna Rishus La'av, his rights that he had, to the husband's rights that were there to, in concert with the father, cancel the vows, now do empty out, pour out, literally, back to the father, meaning now the father once again can unilaterally cancel his daughter's vows. So observes the Mishnah, Beze yafa koach av mekoach habal. In this respect, in this way, the rights that a father has over his daughter are more potent than that of a husband. Again, we're talking here about an arus, a husband who's like done kedushin, given her the ring, etc., but not yet taken her into his house to live functionally as husband and wife. B'davar acher, however, there's a different way in which yafa koach habal mekoach av, in which the husband's rights with respect to hafaras nadarim, canceling of vows, is more potent than the husband. Now, the next sentence of the Mishnah sounds like a stam Mishnah, but actually it's going according to one particular shita, the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, and the Mishnah itself isn't perfectly explicit what it means, but whatever it does mean, it will not be lahalacha. And what it says is, yafa koach habal mekoach av, in the following way, the husband has rights that are more potent than the father. Shehabal mefer bebeger, because a husband, an arus, can cancel his wife's nadarim when she becomes a beggar, like she becomes a mature, past 12 and a half. Va'av eno mefer bebeger, but that's not the case when it comes to the father. So, first of all, what are we not talking about? We're not talking about a case in which, a generic case, in which a girl started out being, less than 12 and a half, and now she becomes, more than 12 and a half. In such a scenario, the truth is that the husband would not be able to cancel her vows because the father can't cancel now that she's stopped being a minor, Nara, and they don't pass over to the husband. So that's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about, and there's a rule. The rule you have to keep in mind, which will paint the picture throughout the whole of the Masechta here, or the whole of this topic here, is that a husband who's only an Arus, as opposed to a full-blown, stage two marriage Nisuin, can never unilaterally cancel the girl's vows. You always need to have the father doing it as well, or not at all. So the case of our Mishnah is a very specific one, in which they had been, I'll call it engaged, lack of a better term, meaning that they did the first stage of marriage, called Kedushin or Erisin, and they set a time. At the time, they said, listen, let's say she was 12 years old, they said, when she becomes 13, at that point, we'll have the marriage, and she'll move in with you, Mr. Baal. But the time comes, and he doesn't, for whatever reason, he doesn't arrange for the wedding, so now she's still living at home. Now, the rules are that until a girl goes to stage two, chuppah, and moves in with her husband. She lives at home with her father, and although she's married legally, the father remains financially responsible for her, to take care of her, to feed her, etc. And that being the case, when the husband is supposed to take over at the Nisuin, if he committed to take over at a certain time, but he doesn't deliver on that commitment, meaning that time passed, so then the halacha is that now, as like I'll call it a financial disincentive for the husband not arranging the chuppah, he now has to pay for her mizonos. He has to provide for her instead of the father. So he's like on the hook now for her. And according to the Tana in our Mishnah here, this is Rabbi Eliezer, again, not Lahalacha, he held that once you have a husband who is responsible financially for this wife, even if they're not living together as husband and wife, not Nisuin yet, but he's on the hook financially, and there's no father in the picture because she's already a beggar, a bogeris, she's already become like 12 and a half past, so the only person who's in the picture is him, and since he's already financially responsible, and he's also a husband, legally, he should be entitled to also unilaterally, single-handedly, be mefer her nadarim, cancel her vows. That's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is like Tanakam, like the Chachamim, who aren't mentioned explicitly here, who hold that there's no way for a husband to unilaterally, meaning by himself, cancel his wife's nadarm until Nisuin happens, until they get fully married.